Welcome, everyone, to the latest episode of the Pharmaceutical Commerce Podcast. I'm Nico Saraceno, editor of PC. I'm pleased to be joined today by Steve Silvestro, president of Optimize Rx, a digital communications platform that reaches providers and patients throughout the care journey. Among multiple topics on today's agenda, he'll be diving into the advantages to incorporating DTC and HCP marketing strategies with the help of technology, a new AI trend taking form that people may be unaware of, and much more. So, Steve, first of all, I do want to thank you for taking the time to join us on the PC podcast today and taking time out of your schedule. Really do appreciate it.
Thanks, Nico. It's great to be here with you and looking forward to the dialogue today.
Great. As am I. So first things first, Steve, as I kind of hinted at the top of the show, for our listeners, would you mind just describing the benefits to integrating DTC and HCP marketing strategies with technology, especially for patients and providers? What are the advantages to doing that?
Yeah, happy to do it, Nico. You know that we're sort of a pioneer in this space. I mean, I think when we go back in time throughout my 25 plus years in industry, you know, we look back at history and we see that mostly manufacturers have been focused on high prescribing physicians, right? You're familiar with the deciling and the process of sales force alignment and the analytics list and NPI list and all this stuff that's gone on over the years. I think probably about 3 or 4 years ago, there was a massive shift with significant momentum toward looking more at the patient, not just as someone who is going to be onboarded on therapy by a physician, but also as a consumer, someone that was more educated, someone that was coming to the table with information, making their own healthcare choices. And so there was this massive sort of movement of patient as, you know, patient as consumer. When you start to bring those two together, ultimately what you're looking for is a brand eligible patient who's educated and having an educated conversation with a physician who can make a prescribing decision. And so that's the evolution of the ecosystem that we all work in now. It's very, very different than 5 years ago or even 2 or 3 years ago. And so what we've done at Optimize Rx is shifted our strategy away from just looking at high prescribing physicians and really focusing on finding brand eligible patients as the initial step that we do in our articulation of technology. And we use tech to do that. But you know, the coming together of HCP and DTC effort starts with the mindset shift of looking at the patient first, taking a reverse model patient first approach, and then rolling that up to the rest of the ecosystem and other things that we do in pharma.
That's an interesting angle there, kind of flipping the script there a little bit. So that's really fascinating. Another thing too, when I was kind of getting ready to speak with you, there's a new trends that's kind of up and coming when it comes to artificial intelligence, which a lot of people may argue that AI is starting to get saturated in terms of it being overused as a term, right? But there's this new application of AI towards the pharma marketing stage of the commercialization process, which shows that AI is not just for the standard pharma operations, but it can also be utilized when it comes to the strategic planning process and when it comes to making marketing decisions. So would you mind just kind of breaking that down? How like exactly is AI making its impact felt, you know, in this avenue? How have you like seen those applications?
As somebody who's deeply involved in use of AI and machine learning, just generally on a daily basis, and also as a business who's, you know, holds several patents in the space, I think this is a conversation we engage in very, very often. I think what's interesting is people's understanding of AI 4 years ago, Nico, was really limited to Terminator 2, where a robot was coming out and chasing people with guns. Luckily, we've moved past that for the most part, right? And more people are getting educated. And I think, you know, the open source AI stuff that's available is also helping people to get more familiar and more comfortable with things. But where we see AI really being incredibly helpful, not just in marketing execution, is really in the commercialization process and pharmaceutical manufacturers utilizing data sets with holes. So if you think about what AI does, It trains on data, finds patterns, finds holes, and then fills in those holes to make the data smoother. So that's probably the easiest way to understand it. Data is not something that's new to any of us in industry, right? I mean, we all have used it. We're data junkies. We love it. More data, better data. Some of it's commoditized, some of it's proprietary. Fundamentally speaking, though, what AI is doing is linking that data together and making it more executionable. And so when you're building a commercialization plan and a launch plan, you're working off disparate data sets and there are holes everywhere. So analytics teams are scouring the globe looking for ways to be able to come up with more cohesive data sets to provide marketers with a better plan to launch that's more effective and shorten the time to onboarding for therapy. And that's really a great way is like taking AI and aligning it to open data sets or different types of data sets to fill in gaps so that when a launch strategy is implemented, that there's not lag or gaps in certain areas that would cause more time to uptake. And I think we've seen, you know, the last three or four major launches that brands have done where they've leveraged AI prior to launch, not just to market and execute, but actually to build the strategy. Those have been massively successful. I won't name them here just out of, you know, NDA sake, but everyone listening to the podcast will know who they are. And the most impressive part of that, Nico, was again, time to therapy. It was like from the time the drug launched to the time they onboarded their first cohort of patients was shortened by 75%, right? Normally, there's a massive time lag of like, okay, create awareness, then trial, then usage. We all used to build ATUs back in the day, right? Everything driven by primary market research and surveys and all this stuff. And we would refresh them on a quarterly basis. And big companies made fortunes off building those ATUs and then syndicating them. Now you're talking about real-time data as an ATU. We don't use the term ATU as much anymore. We talk about real-world evidence and how that gets refreshed. But that's really what it boils down to is like shorten the time to therapy, continue to pulse it. Awareness trial usage is still happening. It's just happening on a much faster, accelerated pace.
I mean, that efficiency really does make the difference, and it kind of moves the process, or it keeps the process moving forward. And this is
Huge.
another, 100%. And another topic I wanted to get into was this idea of consumer privacy. I mean, obviously, it's been going on across the country. You
Yeah.
know, the past few months alone, there's been various states that have enacted existing consumer privacy laws. In your opinion, Steve, what are some ways that pharma marketers can kind of navigate that changing landscape with all this privacy legislation? How are you able to like properly navigate that and kind of make sure that, you know, you stay within the limits of what each state allows, and what advice do you have to kind of like following those guidelines?
Excellent question. So in pharma, we tend to be slow adopters of technology and change. We don't like it. It's why we're still addicted to the Salesforce model, honestly. And we still, not the Salesforce.com model, but the literal physical Salesforce model, which we know is not as effective as a lot of the other stuff that we're now seeing in other venues. But I think that we have to have a two-step approach, right? The states are adopting these policies and they're adopting them pretty rapidly, actually. Compliance departments are tracking it. They're seeing that it's not just the state of Washington anymore. There's active legislation in Oregon and, you know, most importantly, California, which is, you know, the fifth largest economy in the world. So the movement to privacy regulation and all of those things changing and evolving very rapidly is definitely happening. In the meantime, though, marketers need to continue to drive brand awareness and continue to get doctors the information they need to write the scripts for the patients that need them. And so we view that very much as a dual approach. We've always had the ability on the DTC side to target specific tokenized patients and look at doing that in a compliant and privacy efficient way as far as current regulations are concerned. That's nothing new for Optimize Rx. We've been doing that for years. We have had the ability to do that for years, and we'll continue to do that for clients. What we additionally have, which I think is really important that we as a community in pharma embrace, is a privacy compliant way to do that in the new regulatory environment that's coming out. And you know, we have a patent, Nico, as you know, on something called micro neighborhood targeting, which is really a compliant way to directly message DTC audiences still generate great audience quality and have superior results, but be compliant with the new regulation that's rolling out. So really it's that two-step process. I think most of the people in our ecosystem, businesses that are our peers, they still are targeting the old way. My view is that's a pretty big exposure that they're creating for pharmaceutical companies. And without having a two-step approach, I think we're going to see some, probably some pullback in certain areas or maybe some intervention from some of the regulatory bodies. So we'd like to get out ahead of it. We're not interested in having regulatory conversations with regulatory bodies. We'd much rather have it with our manufacturing partners and get out ahead of it.
That can definitely get a little tricky, to say the least. You know, definitely a good idea to avoid those conversations if you can. But, you know, thinking 2024 is, we're going to be approaching Q4 soon. So keeping that in mind, what recommendations would you have for pharma brands as they start to think about planning for 2025? What kind of things should be top of mind as we look ahead?
Yeah, I mean, maybe we'll finish, Nico, where we started, which is with this connection of HCP and DTC. I mean, I'll just share openly, like our business is, we get a ton of RFPs, as you can imagine, have a ton of conversations, 300 plus brands live on our platform, right? So that's a huge sample size for the industry. Every single client we are speaking to is asking us to connect HCP and DTC. So my view is, if you're not doing that and you're a client, your peers are all doing it and you're a little bit behind. If you're a partner like us, two manufacturers, and you're not doing it, you really ought to be doing it and doing it fast. The last thing is to say there's major cost efficiencies for brands to link these two things together, right? They're all building on both the DTC side and the HCP side, patient-derived audiences. Ours happen to be dynamic. We apply AI to make them more accurate. We give a better audience quality and a superior ROI to our peer groups, and we're pretty proud of that. But at a minimum, you've got to bring those two audiences together into one effort. Otherwise, you're paying essentially as a brand two different groups to do the exact same thing, and maybe they're not coming out with the exact same result. So our view is there's a cost efficiency and there is a significant efficacy in getting execution done via the same audience off of dynamic execution against DTC and HCP marketing efforts. So that's really where I would say, we're finishing where we started. Like, your question was a really astute one, and I'm sure you're hearing it all over the place because we are, and just glad to be able to answer it.
I think you summed that up nicely, and I think that's a good way to close it. Yeah, thanks for taking the time, Steve, to kind of break this down for the listeners. I think they're gonna get and receive a lot of benefit and a lot of perks from giving this a listen. So we do appreciate the time. It's been a real pleasure today, and looking forward to seeing what other developments and news coming in with your company and out there in the AR marketplace. So it's gonna be interesting to see what happens.
Thanks, Nico. Great to speak with you too, and thanks for the invitation.
Absolutely. Thanks for listening to the latest episode of the Pharmaceutical Commerce Podcast. Be sure to stay in the loop of all our latest updates by visiting pharmaceuticalcommerce.com or our Audioboom page. Take care, everyone.